here. Episode 15. It is episode 15 of Underground Espionage. Tara, how is that chip that is in your mouth?
It was really good. I wanted to eat some chips. I wanted to eat some chips, but Mike wanted to start recording. So I said, maybe we could start recording and I could just have one more chip.
There you go. Eating those chips. It's the kind of content you can't get anywhere else. Well,
I love these chips.
Like last week, it's later in the day on Thursday that we're posting this. We're going to be posting this immediately after recording. So doing our part two of
I thought you were going to say, we're doing our part.
We are doing our part, yeah. Tara, like Starship Troopers, doing our second part of our Paul Verhoeven five-movie run, decade 1987 to 1997 run, talking Showgirls and Starship Troopers. Tara, it is by the skin of our teeth, or I don't even know if it's by the skin of our teeth. I feel like we don't deserve to be here today, but somehow we... I am fine. I keep waiting for the other
hangover
to drop. Yeah, the other hangover to drop. But I don't have one.
No, I mean, we had a wild day yesterday, and then we got home and decided to blow off some steam, I guess. and so we did that thing we do where we DJ'd music to each other loudly and yacked over, screaming over the stereo and singing along and dancing. So it was really fun. And I do think that maybe the thing that saved us was probably the most unhinged decision we made. But that decision was drinking the alcoholic Gatorade.
Go ahead, Sarah. Are they called refreshers? No, they're called like Light Strike.
Light Strike. That's what they're called. So they're, they are like 4.5.
They're not very strong at all. Which is,
but they are a 16-ounce can, you know, like it's a pint, right? Yeah. So it's like having a pint of beer, and they are like, they taste like Gatorade, but they're also coconut water with electrolytes, and it says really big, like, this is not a hydrating beverage, but it feels like a hydrating beverage. And you drink, and we had four, and now we have none. So that was part of the fun. Yeah. I mean, everything else was hilarious. Like, I see you're having a mocktail now.
Well, it's because we went through all of our any beverage.
No, I also cracked all the mocktails, but I put tequila in them.
God. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
just a tiny.
I woke up.
Little mini shot.
I woke up.
You
today,
were reluctant to
And
get
I was
up.
Literally like, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to... Anyone who listens to this who, like, doesn't drink is like, this is exactly why I don't drink.
Yeah, we know.
But I did. I woke up, and I was definitely, like, taking inventory of, like, do I feel sick? Am I dizzy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... I feel totally...
We had some weak-ass beverages. We had Gatorade, right? We had coconut water. We had so many electrolytes. Like, we're pumping full of electrolytes right now. I'm sure those mocktails had some, like, I don't know, some sort of adaptogen in them or whatnot. Now, but it is insane because you're having one of those mingles now that were given to me.
I just wanted a beverage.
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing about, like, mocktails. Like, I struggle. Like, I just drink them like they're sodas because they are sodas, right? Like, I don't get the difference. Like, just have it's a soda.
No, I've said this. I've definitely said this. I don't know.
It's just like kind of like a more interesting soda.
No, it's just calling it that makes it feel like just the actual word mocktail. All it is just a drink.
Yeah,
it's just a beverage.
But I like those pineapple Paloma mingles, which are just like ungodly expensive. So four pack is like $15.
Yeah, it's so that you
which
can
is
charge.
So stupid.
It's basically so that you
more.
Can charge more.
Like, why is that? Or, anyway, whatever. So,
but
it's, you
but
have
it's,
that.
It is better than a soda because
well,
it
less
is
sugar.
Less sugar and less calories.
But then just make a low caloric, less.
But
sugar,
that's all
less
it is. You could like you could
drink.
Call those no sugar like. Cola's a mocktail.
Oh, but what I was going to say
is... You call
is,
anything a mocktail.
So
you call water a mocktail.
Coke's a mocktail. It's
a water, put water and put an olive in it, and it's like and
it's a Jack and Coke
fake
hold the
martini.
Jack. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? A water with an olive in it.
Well, it's kind of like what I call, you know, anything, any alcohol with an ice cube in it is a cocktail, in my opinion. Yeah. So, like, if I put an ice cube in whiskey, it's a cocktail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's always been my joke. Now, but here's the thing with the mingles. I'll try to give one to people, be like, these are good. And, like, I've forced them upon you, Mike. And people are reluctant to, like, drink them during the day. They're like, oh, it's a cocktail. I'm like, it's never had alcohol in it. It's not de-alcoholized. Yeah. Well, again, it's not anything. And then I'll see people like looking if I'm drinking one, being like, why are you drinking that? I'm like, it's not a cocktail. It's just soda.
I understand, like, especially for people who are like doing a diet or whatever, or like, but well, not even so much the diet, because like honestly,
or usually just don't drink. It's just like somebody not drinking.
If you're doing the mocktail and you're on a diet, generally it still has calories in it. So it's like not necessarily, but I understand the mental thing of, especially if you're out and you're not drinking, but you just sort of feel like
you are. Yes, I want a beverage at all times, no matter where I am.
It is sort of like, it's become a bit of like, it's like, yeah, like these cans, it's like all it is, if you call it a mocktail, you can just charge more.
Now you charge $15.99 for four of them. Yeah. Yes, I know.
So really what you should all do is just get drunk like we do.
No. No, I mean, well, last night we did, but I mean, I just like want, I think that there should be beverage options of all sorts everywhere I go. I really enjoy beverages. Like I watching films from days of yore, and I just don't know how people like survived without having an array of beverages around them.
Yes,
and they
course.
Just had skanky water fountains to sip on like a public trough. I was going to say germ trough, but I don't really. It's not the germs that bother me. It's the, like, forcing me to, like, you know, drink everything I'm going to drink in one session that I find upsetting. Anyway, let's go on.
Look,
you can
I
cut this
important.
Out, Mike.
No, I'm not. We're posting this right look, when we go. But all I'm
but
saying
we
is
had
that
such a fun time last night, and I would love to share the things we listened to. Last night, Mike said we shouldn't talk about what we listened to tonight because it's cringe. And at the time, I was like, fuck it, let's go.
We
and
listened to a
I
bunch of
up,
like, I'm not a
lifetime deep cuts.
I don't use the word guilty pleasure. I think if you like something, you like something. But that doesn't mean it all has to be broadcast.
We don't
everybody.
Have to share. We don't have to be proud of it, is what I'm
saying.
Yeah. Like, you can embrace what you love, but it doesn't have to, like, you don't have to share.
We
with
were that
everybody.
Kind of drunk where we were like going through like our like
catalog
history.
Of this, yes.
Like
tapes
I
that you
to
had
this
in your
when
car.
I was like 12.
But at the time I was like, yes, I'm standing by this. It's good. I was like, no, Mike. And I was making a big argument. Like, no, I stand by it. It's good. This is like whatever. And then I woke up this morning and I was like, I don't care to tell anybody. I will share one thing, and I think I made a valid point and a valid argument about this last night.
You just got the
don't get nervous.
My,
I know.
My
I
neck
saw
got
you.
Sweaty.
Ooh.
I like. I
your balls went up into your body.
No. I don't actually. I. You know what?
No. Let me just say it's about. No. It's. It was the beginning of the night, so it wasn't okay.
When I
don't people
know.
Say that the Ramones can't play their instruments.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree.
Of course.
It pisses me off. They're like, there's a bunch of guys that came in. They don't know how to play their instruments, whatever. I'm like, I listened to the Ramones, and we listened to them last night.
Yeah.
And I'm
that
like,
that was great.
They fucking know how to play. They're tight. It's a tight band
that
plays catchy songs.
Yeah.
Like, you may find that they're very simple, but their simplicity is their beauty because they get down to the essence of tightness and catchiness and what you can really do with a band. It's like, it's fucking insane. I hate that take on the Ramones that they're just like people who barely know how to play their instruments. It's like, Jesus Christ. And also, when people talk about like Ringo being a bad drummer, it's like, oh, Jesus fucking
Ringo
Christ.
From the Beatles?
Yes. Being a terrible drummer is like the whole thing. People
I thought you were talking about the Ramones. Oh, he's a. I don't. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and.
I'm just saying, this is a line of people. They act like they're the goddamn Shags. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
This is like all these like stupid hot takes that have been going around forever. All right. And I say,
fuck that. My
I'm done.
Now
I know.
I'm feeling,
you're tensed
I'm like
up again.
So nervous.
Are you sweaty? I'm sweaty. Your face is making me sweat.
It's like,
I'm really
dude.
Feeling nervous. Well, hold on. I'm not going to discuss any other thing. I'm crazy. I'm not going anywhere crazy. This is the only place I was going to go, my guy. I won't do it to you. I won't do it to me. I told you. I wasn't full of regret, but I was full of having a private moment.
No, and that's the thing is, like, I always say a good night, especially a home drinking night, is, like, it's a success if you didn't post anything, which, you know, that happens sometimes. And sometimes it's worth it because your content is the content people crave. But no posting, no ordering.
No ordering.
And no texting.
I didn't order anything. I didn't text anybody. Yeah. No, that's true.
It's all.
I did take some And you know what, though? And I think it's okay if you take artful photos, which you think are very artful at the time, and then you just wake up and you delete them all.
You took some great photos.
Just wake up, delete them.
You took some fantastic photos.
Yeah, well, artful. Art, just creating
I say
art.
It was a successful night, a private night.
An unplanned night.
Yes.
But nonetheless, it was a hoot. And I, you know what? I'm glad. I feel semi-coherent because I would be regretful, full of regret. I'm not regretting last night, but I would be full of regret if I couldn't discuss Starship Troopers and Showgirls today because I hold them in such high regard.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they are films that have, I think, in different times shaped my consciousness and the way I perceive and think about the world. And just the extreme nature of them just really is thrilling and inspiring, and it just shows you like just some of the thrilling places that culture went, and it makes me happy.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually just when I'm just gonna right before we get into this, we did do some orders for the podcast. I mean, Vinegar Syndrome.
Oh, okay.
Orders. Yeah. But where were we? Because that where were we that night? What did we do that
were
night?
We with Gray, or we were texting with Gray?
We were texting with Gray. I don't know. I don't know what made me. It doesn't matter. You know what? I don't know what made me. I you know what? I don't know
we
what made
me
think of that.
We were at Cantina, maybe. No, and then we went to. Oh,
that's
and we went
what
to
it
La Poubelle.
That was a good night. That was a week ago. Yeah. That was after
we recorded.
Yes.
Yes.
That was good.
We were like, we did our work for today. We deserve a treat, and so we went to the Cantina.
And that's when we got our.
Oh my
so Tara,
god!
There you go.
Story
we did not
of
tell
this night.
This.
What? Okay.
I know
felt
everyone's
like
fascinated
just,
by our.
Oh my god!
By our drunken
like,
antics.
I don't know. We sound like slobs. Like
it's
when
bad.
I just. It's not. We aren't. It is not bad. Like,
I know.
Don't
see. I don't think.
Bad.
But I agree.
We're
I don't
bad.
Think of us like
two
that.
Nights. We're talking
I don't,
about two nights.
I don't think of us like that.
Yeah. We're not even. It's not even. But maybe it's more hilarious because like it's not even Weekend Warriors because we're like it was Thursday. Fucking Thursday is my favorite. But no, I just don't portray us that
I'm
way.
Not, I'm not.
We
I'm
were
not,
just
I'm
a couple of adults. You know, who had finished our responsibilities for the day, for the week, having a little treat, going on a little Hollywood adventure. What the fuck do we live in Hollywood for? Yeah. We can't have a little Hollywood adventure. You wake up, you record a podcast about Verhoeven, you get all excited about things in life, and you remind yourself about, like, cool shit that exists, and you're not bogged down in other people's fucking opinions and the dreariness of modern cinema and all this other shit. And then you go across the street and you drink a bunch of mango margaritas. You had classic.
Yep.
And then you eat some tacos.
Yep.
And you don't want to end the night.
Yep.
So you have a discussion.
Yeah.
You go to the little French restaurant next door where there's oodles of ambiance. They put on the Misfits, like the actual like film with like Marilyn Monroe. I almost said Marilyn Manson. That's hilarious.
That's
we did
funny.
Not listen to Marilyn Manson. Good for us. We did not listen to Marilyn Manson. I want to state that now. Seems like we might have gone there had we stayed up past the time we stayed up until, which was late. Look, we're adults. If we want to stay up till 2 or 3,
we can do whatever we want.
We can do that.
We can do that.
We have crafted our life in such a way that if we want to do that, we can.
Yeah.
And I stand by it.
Oh, I do too.
And
I do too.
The majority of the days we don't do that.
Yeah.
But this last night we did. Now, the night in question, we did not. We stayed out till a reasonable hour, but we did stop for that one extra at La Poubelle.
But what?
It
but
was
I,
really
but,
gorgeous. And then we got so rosy-cheeked and charming, and we're just like full of like zest for life. And like you had two espresso martinis.
Yeah, I wanted something.
We were full
I wanted
bravery.
Because like, I wanted some I was craving ice cream.
We
I'm
were
like,
talking.
Instead of ice cream,
we went
I'll have an espresso martini.
Because at Cantina La Villita, we went over the original Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors, discussed our ice cream order. We had a whole thing. We were like, I guess, podcasting to each other, talking about our orders, talking about the flavors we miss, right? So that's where it ended. So then we just like skip across the street, rosy-cheeked and charming, walking down the road. And just so you know our history, like I will go through trash. I will pick things out of trash. I will claim them as my trash, roadside treasures. And so we get closer to our place, and I spy up the block. I'm like, ooh, what is this I see? I see treasure. I see treasure. I see Big T's roadside attractions coming up ahead. And Mike was in such a great mood. He was like, you want to go check it out? And I was like, oh, yes, I do. I do. And so we like excitedly skipped up. And they are two fucking perfect mirrored end tables, like tacky Hollywood style. Absolutely couldn't be more our style. They're two gold end tables that are completely mirrored with crystal hand pulls in perfect condition and totally clean.
Yeah, they're amazing. And so we upgraded our
So
our
we gleefully snatched them up. So then we're skipping back to our apartment, skipping right back up the block, holding end tables, giggling like idiots. Just like, what a great day. And we're just like so full of glee. We come home, rearrange the entire apartment because our place is tiny. So I have upgraded my end table next to where I sit right now, right at this very moment. It's no longer a Roland amp.
Totally rearranged everything. And then we're in such a great mood. The vinegar syndrome sale started and we just ordered a bunch of stuff.
Click, 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 click. Oh, let's look at these end tables. Click, buy, 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 buy. Yeah, go, yeah, gimme, yeah, gimme, yeah, gimme. Yeah. We get more treats. And we had so many treats that night. Yeah. And it felt like the universe was egging us on by giving us these beautiful end tables.
We can't be blamed. We're simply conduits.
Oh my God. And then I'm like, we're texting everybody, look at these. And they're like, oh my God, how do you not already own those? They really fit. Yes, they are the tackiest things ever. So what?
So this is
a beautiful, joyful adventure.
This is where we have been at. Underground Espionage listeners, I know that you were just dying to hear about our drunken adventures, but I think it fits in order to discuss especially 1995's Showgirls. Now, most people know what big fans of this movie we are. We have discussed this before, but you just wanted to do the Verhoeven two-parter. We wanted to discuss it again because we're always down to watch Showgirls or Starship Troopers or RoboCop, Basic Instinct, Total Recall.
All of these movies.
Just truly, this run is so incredible.
Classics. And
Showgirls, I mean, you know, watching it, you know, we watch it all the time and you always get, you know, something new out of it. This one was definitely really embracing. I mean, every time you watch it, you embrace the hyperbolicness of it. Mm-hmm. But then watching an interview with Verhoeven saying like, no, that was everything that you see is truly what he wanted.
That is his vision.
There's nothing accidental. There's nothing, you know, Elizabeth Berkley, the way she acts, the wildness, the way she like moves like so crazy and big, like that was all intended. Yes. Nothing about it is accidental or bad. You know what I mean? Everything was as it was intended. And it just adds up to this delirious, over the top, hyperbolic, garish, loud, fast paced, totally hyper real, unreal, but because of its totally unrealness, it gets to a lot of real things.
100% agree. And that way that Verhoeven crafts a world, you know, so this world that we're in is a world of people who are a mix of good and bad. You know, people who are more like real people, and that they don't, there's not like the good guy and the bad guy, because arguably Nomi really is the bad guy for everyone involved, enhances no one's life. I wouldn't call her a tragic main character, but she truly, the only like enhancement she brings to people's lives is that brief moment where she interacts with them and then she lays the rest to waste. Right. But this world of troubled, beautiful people in a sleazy and demure society is just such a joy. Eye candy. And this and Starship Troopers 2 have that campy craftsmanship where, like, it's played seriously, but the one-line zingers that you just come away with, you know what I mean? Like, do you like brown rice and vegetables? I mean, everybody knows you know, it must be weird not to get cum on you. Like, everybody knows the, like, one line, the zingers. Like, the person who wrote the script, you're just, I'm just in awe of the script.
Same writer as Basic Instinct. I'm going to, because his last name is sort of Joe Esterhaas, who also wrote Basic Instinct, is the writer of Showgirls. And, yeah, it was definitely a thing where it was all, you know, what you see is what was intended, you know.
Yeah, because it has been mocked. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Showgirls. Like, I mean, I guess we should start at the beginning, because it's like, even though at the time nobody saw Showgirls, everybody knew what Showgirls was. It was kind of like this running joke of a flop. But I mean, Mike, you reminded me of something as we were discussing it on one of our adventures the other day, and that is like the Showgirls was NC-17, so it was hard to see.
Yeah, exactly. And Verhoeven wanted it to be NC-17. He specifically made it to be NC-17. And that prevented it from, I don't even think you could do ads in certain papers or even maybe at all.
Yeah.
And it was a thing where R-rated movies, I mean, you could basically get into. I never had a problem getting into an R-rated movie.
Yeah, I bought a ticket for James and the Giant Peach and I went and I saw Sliver. I mean,
yeah,
that's
but
did.
even like getting in, it really wasn't that problem. But NC-17, really couldn't go in as a kid or as under 18. And there were a few movies on NC-17. So it was that. And then it did just get a handful of good reviews, but mostly just these scathing reviews. And when you watch it, you know, again, maybe I don't really know exactly what, you know, it's hard to tell just exactly why it got these such bad reviews. Mm-hmm. But Verhoeven did embrace it. I mean, it was
the
nominated
world wasn't
for
ready.
It was nominated for and won the Razzie for like the worst film of the year. And he was at the event. They didn't know he was there.
Oh,
and he got
God.
Up and accepted
it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so it's like he embraced these. Like, well, you know, they really did think it was going to be a huge success.
Well,
like,
it is now.
And it took a long time. But even Elizabeth Berkley was. Everyone really distanced themselves from it for a long, long time until its final reappraisal. I mean, I think even Gina Gershon did. Elizabeth Berkley definitely did. But now it's become, you know, it's one of those movies that really turned and has become considered such a classic that it's hard
beloved.
For movies to do that.
Yeah.
Really do that. And especially it's really beloved and it's really in a non-ironic way. I mean, if anyone enjoys it ironically, that's their dumb problem.
I don't know what they would enjoy ironically about
it. Yeah, because it just is this incredibly, again, you talk about likable characters. There really is not very likable characters in this movie, which can be a tough sometimes.
Yeah,
but in this case, they are their unlikableness is what you want to see.
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard. I'm not putting the right words.
I think that
I wouldn't say anyone's very likable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love everyone in it, though.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Think that maybe we are trying to say likable. I think that what it's doing is it's not trying to mask anyone's flaws.
There you go. That's what I'm trying to say.
Making them into something that they aren't. Like, for example, like Pretty Woman, like the hooker with the heart of gold. Like, Nomi does not have a heart of gold.
There you go. Okay,
you know what I mean?
You're putting it better words than
I am. So it's like no one's trying to create characters that we see in films constantly where it's like, you know, this like tragic person who's like sweetly angelic and are just like kind of giving themselves. I mean, truly, if anybody is that like sweet and tragic character in this, it would be like Nomi's roommate, the seamstress, who just for some reason is just beyond generous to her and then gets raped and beaten
brutally.
Or like Penny, who like is just kind of like a just like I like being a stripper. My name's not Penny anymore. I get whatever you want it to be. And then she gets knocked up by some dancer who kind of likes her a little bit.
I've said this,
like,
I'm sure.
Those are like the only like people who didn't like go out to like knife someone else in this film.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I've said too, I always think that if any, like that arc of like the dancer guy, like sort of does not necessarily, I guess it's just to show that like, I don't know exactly. His arc is sort of strange. I've always felt
the arc of the dance. Well, no, I think that he provides this opportunity for Nomi to like have somebody on her level to fall in love, to pursue her like artistic expression and her creative interests. And she's hesitant to trust him. And then it turns out that rightfully so. But I think that, you know, much like us coming to Los Angeles, you know, like you see these like tropes of like LA people in film and you hear about them and then you think they don't exist. And then you meet the Palmers and you meet the people who are just like asking your name so they can look you up to see if they want to know you, to see if you can get their career forward. Yeah. Like you'll be somewhere and people are like, who are you? I've seen you in something. And they're like trying to Google you. Like somebody followed me around at a wrestling show. She was like, I just want to know who you are. Who are you? I know you're somebody. I'm like, I am nobody. I assure you. So it's like that type of shit or people that try to like promise you that you want to do things just to get things out of you. Like they absolutely exist. So I think that this film is showing that in Vegas, like the people who are like just exploiting each other, trying to get ahead, scamming each other, manipulating each other, because that exists in the world in general.
Yeah.
No matter what your employment is.
Yeah. I think it probably exists everywhere to some degree, but obviously in cities like LA, Vegas,
yes,
New York, Chicago, like the big, you know, that definitely is like a real thing.
When you're in arts and entertainment.
Yeah, that is like a real thing.
Yes,
yeah,
when people are music, dancing,
but I'm sure it happens
any
in
performance
any,
spaces.
You know, to some degree, you know, for in any town for varying things.
So I always just kind of think that he's there to show the opportunity and to just show the different types of exploitative people. It's like he's trying to scam her, she's trying to scam him, they're both trying to see what they can get out of it. You know, maybe they're enjoying the ride. And then even just having that in contrast to the strip club, you know, where it's really clear what everyone's doing there. He's like, you're gonna stick around a lot longer if you give me a blowjob, like, you know. But I think that the part, one of the devices, because we don't really need to tell the plot of Showgirls, we can talk about it in a minute, but I want to say this while it's still in my head because I guarantee you it's going to flutter away, is the that thing where they're showing that parallel line between the strip club and the Showgirls musical act, right? Like, one is it a big legitimate casino and it's got tons of money, and the other is a strip club. But what Crystal Connors is trying to explain to Nomi is they're doing the same thing. The strip club's being really honest about it. The strip club's like, you get paid this much, here's what you do, you blow me, you get to stay longer. But the big Vegas show doesn't say any of that. Truly, if you blow the boss, he's, you know, the same guy, then you do get to stay longer, and you do get ahead, and you do get to be the star of the show, just like at the strip club. You know, it's like, it's the same thing, it's just one's honest about it and one's not. And I think that's the thing that Crystal Connors is trying to make Nomi understand, but Nomi so belligerently and just like just meanly refuses to understand that they're both whores.
Yeah, and
just self, what is it when you lie to yourself? Delusional. Yeah. Nomi's delusional.
Yeah. And I mean, the other great thing about this movie is that like it's fucking hot. Like when she in the strip club when she's grinding on Kyle MacLachlan and he busts and like in the pool, that bang session is like it's not funny to me.
Insane.
It's fucking hot.
She almost
like,
drowned
it's, like,
during
awesome.
It. It's great, but it's like, amazing
it, like,
scene.
Yeah, it's awesome. Or like Crystal Connors like trying to make out with Nomi. Like it's all that's
so
the other
hot.
Thing. So it's like all these other things, and then but then also you can just watch it for the eye candy and just for like the sex of it.
Yeah.
Like, and like, that's also great to watch in this movie.
Yeah. And yet again, I love the, just like in Basic Instinct, like, we don't need a name for the sexuality that's happening because
it's banging.
But like, the sexual tension between Crystal Connors and Nomi and between everybody else, like, nobody's trying to, like,
it's just hot.
Well, it's an attraction.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm just saying, it's
he doesn't have to like pin down the attraction and why and what it's called and what the nature of it is, but there's like a, you know, just like an animalistic raw sexual tension between them, and it's fantastic, and I love that. Nobody has to like, and it's unspoken and it's left unclear, and that's just like part of the joy
and
present.
Yeah, and the Verhoeven in an interview did say, like, he's like, I love, like, nudity in movies. Like, he's like, I love filming nudity. He's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's very open.
I want nudity in my film.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I want this to be this over-the-top, you know, like, again, he purposely made this NC-17. And so there is all these elements that are just, you know, just constantly coming at you, and you can watch it for varying, you know, varying degrees. And yeah, wait, just the
you
sights.
Can just enjoy it on many levels. You can enjoy it from a heady level where you're like, oh, it's a cautionary tale, or you can enjoy it from just the eye candy level or from a sleazy level. There's just so many things that I think that, you know, the more you watch Showgirls, the more you appreciate Showgirls. I just love it. And yeah. I'm like, I can't imagine at this point that somebody hasn't seen it.
We're speaking of it purely with the thought that everyone listening has seen it or is just going to go watch it. So I'm not.
I'm just reading through, like, I had when we talked about this
a few years ago on
Home Time, like, I had Mike reprint my notes, and it's so funny. Like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with myself. I really agree with all these notes. Yes, the screenwriter of this is an absolute genius. I do love the Thrill Kill Cult as the choice. The musical choices
the soundtrack,
are fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you got Susie and the Banshees, Thrill Kill, Sisters of Mercy. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, like, but Vision Thing, Sisters of Mercy. Yeah. So, like, again, like, when did we listen to Vision Thing driving on Florida? We were on tour in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's when we were like, someone told us to get into Vision Thing.
Or we just did it.
Well, because it's like hot, drugged. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like amphetamine and sweat.
Yeah.
Vision Thing. And like somehow that felt appropriate for Florida, but it's also appropriate for these like seedy Vegas situations. You know what I mean? And so I love, like, you know, the opening scene just being like, I don't like Garth Brooks.
And then she puts
on... like, me neither. I don't know anyone who likes him. But it's not Garth Brooks that's playing, by the way.
Right. It's Dwight Yoakam, isn't it?
I think. Yeah. 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 Which he's great. I love Dwight Yoakam. So anyway, it's all great. Then let's see, what else do I agree with myself about? Everyone's emotional response is just off. Like do people have an interaction together? And especially Nomi, it'll just be like, you know, don't worry, darling, we're all whores. And then Nomi's just like, got me, and like threatens to stab her and just like freaks out.
First thing you see her is she threatens to stab the driver. It's like you're
she pulls out a switchblade. Yeah. She's like, flick my knife, I'm gonna stab you in the neck. Everybody's emotional response is just never what you expect. And I mean, maybe that was the element that gave it the bad reviews. But also, I just feel like some people are like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are people that are
chaos
just
people.
Absolute chaos. And you never know the thing that you're going to say that's going to set them off or get them happy. Yeah. And I mean, this, I feel like this is like a real character.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the realest part is just everybody's like emotional reaction just being off the rails, especially the backstage fighting at the big show.
Yeah.
Like, two chicks who like hate each other and do everything they can to backstab each other and like cause disaster like that too. The line, you got something wrong with your nipples.
Oh yeah, with the ice.
Play with them a little.
Yeah.
Do like make them do something. You know, get them hard. And like Nomi gets so mad. She's auditioning for.
Yeah, she's like a naked topless show.
I'm a stripper. I'm auditioning for a topless show. The guy wants to see my tits, and I'm totally offended, and he wants to make sure I don't have Candy Barber weird nipples, which are great still. She's worth it. She's beautiful. I'll deal with the nipples because she's so gorgeous, but he's checking them out, making sure they do that thing, and she's just like full of just like anger and just storms off. Storms off. Do you think she was mad? She does have those little winky nipples, you know? Like, when they're not hard, they have that little line in them. Like, they're winking at you.
They look great.
Like, they remind me of a goat's eye.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know what I mean? Anyway, they're great. They're fantastic. I have no beef. That's not a criticism. I hope it's not taken that way. So, let's see here. Oh, and then I'm just kind of going through my notes, like, randomly. I know this, like, for Showgirls, like, we can have a chaotic commentary, because I think that even if we were attempting to not have a chaotic commentary, it would sound chaotic because the whole film is chaotic.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, again, it's great. You know, as with both these episodes, we're just speaking generally about these.
Okay,
movies.
So I'm just kind of going through the things that I, like, agree with the most.
With yourself?
With myself. I was like, yeah, I still feel that way very much so. Oh, God, and this part. Oh, let me make this point first, and then I'll talk about another negative quality of Naomi. She's a fucking litter bug. I tell you, she's a litter bug.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that.
No good.
Now, the comedic performer at the Cheetah Club, can you imagine, Mike, being at the Cheetah Club, and then this person comes out, and it's, like, not a drag queen.
Yeah.
And she's like... Yeah, I had something, some sort of like
not
growth
my
remove that's more interesting than you removed from my twat. And
yeah,
you're just like,
probably
the way she says twat,
overall,
I'm just like,
probably my least favorite. Definitely my least favorite.
But
favorite
I would
movie.
Just, I mean, I get what they're trying to do and adding that like colorful flavor of like lots of different people and all that. I get the flavor they're trying to add. But if I was at that strip club, it would be so annoying. Right.
Yeah.
If you were at that strip club, you'd be so annoyed.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a strip club with a comedic performance?
No, I don't.
Nor have I. But what I wanted to say, again, another thing that Naomi shows that she's complete narcissist and cares about nobody. I was just being silly there. I'm not trying to diagnose her with narcissism, nor do I like using the term narcissist. I see. Okay. I got a really good eye roll on that one. When she gets that dancer man fired again for like the second time from being like whatever, a car hop, a valet, I don't know what he is. And then they jump into his dusty convertible, which is otherwise in pristine condition. It's just dusty. So I guess that's accurate for Vegas, but I think they were trying to act like it was not expensive. Then she just like gulping down a cheeseburger, so proud of herself, like, I got you fired and now you're driving me around to your alley and we're gonna go dance. And then she's like munching on a cheeseburger and just like throws the paper into the wind in a salute to freedom.
Yeah, litter bug, we don't like that.
No,
but I do want that cheeseburger
else. I want,
you know,
a cheeseburger too. Make somebody else deal
with it. Of talking about this movie,
I'd rather have the cheeseburger than the doggy chow.
Doesn't
I used to love doggy chow.
Doesn't it kind of make you want to like have a chaotic night tonight and go to a strip club like this? That sound kind of good.
We survive two chaotic nights.
Well, you know, it's
funny. We were at home chaotic. We weren't away.
Well, you know, this, it's funny because again, just the way we present ourselves is like, look, we're, you know, we're, look, we're underground SBNs listeners. You're with us. You know, we like to let you in. But I was thinking about when we were like doing the slot machines and just like
singing and doing the slot
and you were
machines,
just kept like pushing like the, you're like, I want to play the mouse one, and
mousy,
like
mousy.
Yeah, that's what you kept saying.
I was singing little songs about it. You're supposed to do your own slot machine. We were sitting at the same one, like cackling. I'm sure we were obnoxious. I think we pretty much stayed away from other people so we weren't annoying them.
Yeah.
That lady got us white wine, we bought hot dogs, like we came out ahead and bought hot dogs.
Yeah, or we came out even and bought hot dogs.
Yeah,
which is like, to me that's,
so you're like $20
that,
ahead.
To me that's ahead,
but at one point we were hundreds of dollars ahead, I think.
No, we never, no, because every, because all the slots we did were like literally, yeah, like 10 cents.
That,
like, you know what I mean?
Thor,
like, we were just goofing around.
We went ham on the Thor one. That was really
we
fun.
Were just like goofing
what
around.
What a great time that, yeah, was a, that was a really, really fun, yeah, night. Well, I was thinking about when our Cheetahs was up the street from Tiki T when we were newer here before it got terrible.
Yeah.
And now it's closed, I'm sure.
No, I think it's open,
no,
but it's,
God,
just not.
It's,
yeah,
fucking terrible, yeah, now. So then we would go to Tiki T and then just walk up the street to Cheetahs. Now that was fun.
Yeah.
I miss those days. However, the point of like going to see Goddess. Like,
right,
what,
so like,
kind,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of show is this?
I have,
you know,
no
what I mean? Are these
in
shows
going to see?
It's not like a headliner position, like doing it. I guess Crystal Connors is a headliner.
No,
but
it is.
Weird...
But I mean, yeah, that kind of thing is like, I have zero interest in going to like a show like that. Like,
but like a really slick Vegas topless sexy S&M.
Yeah, I don't. I have no real interest in seeing that
show,
except in Showgirls. Like, I don't. I wouldn't go to one,
but is that a thing?
Definitely.
Is it accurate? I just don't know.
I mean, I'm saying definitely like I know. I don't know, but maybe I'm then. Pretty sure, yes, it's a thing, yes. Yes, definitely.
Well, now that I know it's a thing, I might want to go to one.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like...
You wouldn't get horny? Because it's just more like a bunch
I'd
of people
rather go
running
to
around.
Cheetahs.
Yeah. Oh, do you think that's like what the Peep Show was like? Yes. Like the Peep Show that Holly Madison did? Yes.
Exactly.
I bet. Oh, and then that one that Claire Sinclair did.
Exactly.
When she was in. That's
right. I'd rather just go to a strip club.
Yeah. It's you more know? Honest. As we learned. But is it cheaper? No. Especially not the way I throw the money. Now, they deserve it. Give them all the money. Don't give me a stack of ones. They're gone.
They're gone. You never see ones go faster than if Tara's in control of the money at a strip club.
It's the worst.
It's like two dancers in.
Don't give it to me all at once. She deserves it. I'm bad at it. I need like a cover. Like anyway, go. Maybe God is the safer for me. So in my closing notes, I wrote, I did write her fucking nail art is sick. I kind of walked back on that a little. I don't know if I like her nail. I guess her nail art's fine. Nomi helped no one in this movie, and she left a wake of disaster.
Yeah, destruction and chaos.
I'm happy that she at least kissed Gina Gershon.
Yeah.
Who ended up with a broken goddamn ankle, had to go out of the show. She got a big lawsuit, but otherwise, so like... At least she kissed her. But then, so the same trucker picked her up. And again, she tried to wreck his car. And I said, I bet she will also negatively impact his life. Who did she help in this film? Name one person. Her roommate?
Nope. No. Got brutally raped.
And beaten. And then she had to support her for a while. Crystal Connors? Nope. Got her fired from her hit show where she was a Vegas star, injured, and stole her boyfriend. Is Kyle MacLachlan better off?
Dark Cooper.
Does
Black
Dark
Lodge
Cooper?
Cooper?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Black Lodge Cooper. Kyle MacLachlan, is he better off in this film? He had to deal with like the fallout of her. I mean, maybe
he's probably kind of unscathed.
He's kind of the same.
Like us today.
But he doesn't have a girlfriend anymore.
I think
And he has to deal with that chick with the cornrows, and she's way less cool.
Yeah.
The pop star guy, not better. The pop star's guards? No. Penny ended up pregnant. The dancer dude ended up in a reluctant marriage, unable to actualize his dancing dream. The cornrows chick got rid of her rival, I guess, so she might be better off. Her rival was thrown down the stairs. She surely did end up in a better situation. And the entire cast of the show, chaos, uncertainty, maybe the show getting canceled. Nope. She did catch one of the chimpanzees at one point. So truly, if we think about anybody's life that she enriched, I got nothing.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And so Showgirls, it's a...
She didn't even do anybody's nails. She kept pretending
like she
would.
That's actually the thing. I do think it's why it is like pretty... It is such a standout movie because there really is no other movie that has this. Like, there really is no redemptive arc. There really is no like...
She just goes away and does it again.
Yeah. And so I think just that alone makes it... one of the things that makes it just this movie you can just keep coming back to. And look, we love Showgirls. Makes us want to go to Vegas always every time we watch it for the insanity and chaos of it. As you can tell, listeners, we are up for some insanity and chaos. But you know what, Tara?
I think the one thing, though, and I know it's been like beaten to death, but I just want to say this. Her not knowing how to say Versace. People don't know how to say a lot of things.
I sure don't.
Like Chloe.
I say
Nobody
things
knows
wrong.
Hermes.
Anyone who knows
like
me.
Like if people say, people don't know how to say these words. They act
say
like
anything.
Like it's like crazy to not know how to say Versace. Like but we say like weird Americanized versions of all kinds of design houses. So you know what? I would say that's the least of her problems.
I agree. Well, Tara, I had a great transition sentence that I was leading into.
I took you
and
on
in
one
classic
of Tara's
terraform,
roadside attractions.
You took me on that roadside attraction. I like going to your roadside attractions, but Tara, you know where I don't want to go? I don't want to go to this bug planet and get into a war with the Starship Troopers, but I do want to watch the movie Starship Troopers. So the final of the five-run, decade-long 1987 to 1997 Paul Verhoeven run is... Starship Troopers. And man, again, like Showgirls, this movie is super over the top, super hyperbolic. It sort of in a way combines so much of everything we've yes. seen up to now.
This is the fever pitch of it all.
Because you have like the news announcements, but in this way it's like in a form of like early internet,
mm-hmm.
much like the news in RoboCop.
Yes.
You have the just hyperbolic, total insanity that's like Showgirls. You have the science fiction like Total Recall.
Mm-hmm. And that like the state propaganda yeah. like in Total Recall, like the overarching like like giant state that's running it
yeah.
behind the scenes.
And then you have a lot of actors who have been in all mm-hmm. the movies leading into Starship Troopers. And just watching
And you
it again,
have the gloopy violence, like yeah. the absolute
it's so violent.
Like visceral feeling violence
like in Basic
and danger,
Instinct, 100%. Or RoboCop or
yeah, all of them. Yeah.
All of them. So this is sort of the culmination of all these five movies. And it just is just one of those totally insane, over the top, you can just put it on and let it go. And, you know, it looks great. Just the premise. I just also like, I love with his movies that there's no, you can take away what you want to take away from it. Mm-hmm. He just lets it go, you know? And I like that.
Yeah. And we, again, the world is crafted for us, right? We get to see what people are watching on TV. We get to see what they do in school, what their pastimes are. Like, you really get these, like, you get just immersed in all of these characters, and they're fleshed out so well, like, absolutely, in like, instantly. But was Starship Troopers, was it financially successful?
It wasn't a big, I think it was one that did, I think it did okay. I think it was better. I think it mm-hmm. did technically do better than Showgirls,
yeah.
like, at least. But it was definite. I think it was thought that it was going to do bigger than it did,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of those that, much like Showgirls, has
for yeah, it took a long time for people to catch up.
Exactly.
Because it's such. I don't have any. I have no notes for this film. I don't have any complaints about it. It zips by. I love the premise of a bug planet. You know, the planet nearby galaxy throwing asteroids towards Earth in their own insectoid way in order to keep people out, I guess. So you have that flawed character thing, like, since they're exploring other planets and the insects are like, we don't want you here, so they start waging war on Earth by throwing asteroids toward Earth. So like it's like a real way where you can't tell who the villain is yet again, because we're going to their planet. So we kind of are the villains, but we've gone to other planets. Like, just because we're going to their planet, do they have the right to throw asteroids up and blow up Earth? You know what I mean? It's, again, it shows the complicated nature without having to delve into who's right and who's wrong. It's just kind of like,
totally.
This is where we are. And then a bunch of young people who are eager to sign up so they can be citizens and do their part. And you see, like, their propaganda, but at the same time, like, the reasons they want to do this are all, you know, for each their own way, their noble reasons, right? So you get that kind of, like, the glorification of fighting, but also you get the tragedy of what happens when you do engage in it. So, you know, it has, I love that Verhoeven does both sides of, like, why it's great and why it's terrible, you know what I mean? And, like, the devastation that it wreaks. And it's, in. I think in his own way, he's very neutral, right? So it's not leaning in either way. So then we follow the life paths of these kids who say they're going to be friends forever as they're engaged in intergalactic warfare, and how they will sink or swim in this area.
Yeah, and, you know, I love the way the bugs look, because they're pretty abstract. You know, like,
yeah,
they're almost
nailed down what's going on.
You
with
almost
them.
Can't, like, it is like that dreamlike thing where I can picture them right now, sort of in my head, but it's not like, say, like Alien, where you have yeah. a very clear image of
yeah.
what Alien looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, these are
know?
Like all legs and claws,
and then
like
short,
they show
you can't
the
tell
eye.
What the
yes.
front is and yeah. the back and the side. So I love that about mm-hmm. it. And yeah, just the, and then so you can enjoy it on that level. You can enjoy it on thinking about, you know, war and what war is and what it can be, and exactly like the nature of, you know, we support the troops, obviously we do, but then, you know, is it, but it, it doesn't make it,
it doesn't what, mean that their fight is,
or it doesn't
like,
mean
yeah.
whatever it is, you it's a complicated, nuanced thing.
Yes.
Right. And so he presents it like that, but then it's also presented like you can just watch it for the goopy total mm-hmm. just insanity action of it, you know what
and
I mean?
Then it has the classic like love story of like two people that were in love in high school, but can they stay together? And like, whereas, you know, somebody may think that they love somebody when they're 18, but then they eventually grow apart and they see that one person who've been waiting in the wings that they're actually better suited to be with. You know what I mean? You get that kind of romance element. And I think it's like an intense romance story in this one too. Like the longing and then the final hookup. And then of course, you know, getting stabbed, gutted, and killed. But I love the cast.
Yeah.
In this, like, again, Verhoeven films, like zero casting errors ever. Like, so good.
Yeah, I love.
Rue McClanahan, for God's sake.
Yeah,
in this.
But I, no, I love. Yeah. I love this, and it, again, you see a lot of returning people from some of these other movies we've discussed. Denise Richards looking hot.
Denise Richards. Okay, Denise Richards is just an absolute stunning vision with her big wet eyes. She doesn't look real. Like, it's insane. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it may be possible that I've watched her on Housewives, or we've seen her in some Housewives material, and it's not the same Denise Richards. Like, this is just like just peak, sweet, innocent, mild mannered Denise Richards. I love it. And I love her flat. Like, I love her flat delivery and how her mouth barely moves when she talks and she does this. And it's always like that. Just, I think it's the perfect. And she's supposed to be like the crazy pilot, but she's like always like this. You know what I mean? Oh, it's just so that to me is really, really exciting. Dizzy, the curly hair, the every guy's best friend, but never the one they pick.
Until she does get to bang the man of her dreams. But of course, her life does have to come to an end, but she doesn't mind because she got to bang.
Yeah, that's good. She got to bang the guys. I'm like, I'm glad that happened. And then Gary Busey's son in this, like, who just is like a tiny Busey. It's great. So let me see what else. Again, with the screenwriting, with the one-liners, this, again, has that, like, quotable thing. Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny. And when you see those, like, everybody's doing their part. Like, how often have we been saying everybody's doing their part?
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part. And then, like, let me see the other great lines. Did I write any of them down? Well, I didn't. That's okay. I wasn't in the mood for taking notes. I have, like, an old initiation services discarded piece of cardstock that I just wrote some scratches on, so I wasn't really in the mood. The Mazzy star playing when the guys are fighting.
Yeah, I love that. Such a cool, strange choice. Like, fade into you during this, like, fight scene.
It's so good. Like, yeah. I love it. Again, no beef with any of the musical picks either. Like, they're always, like, cool. Like, Verhoeven's cool. You know what I mean? And I think that's another thing that stands up in especially this arc. Like, it's not, like, it's not forced, but they look cool. The people are cool. The musical choices are cool.
Everyone who worked with him,
fucking cool.
We talked about working with him, even if he was, you know, difficult or whatever. Everyone's like, no, because he has pure drive and pure vision.
Yeah.
So when you're working with people like that, there might be times when they are short or they might yell, but it's not in a way that shuts you down. It's in a way that, like, the vision is so clear,
mm-hmm.
and they just need to get that vision. And
yeah.
So
they're
sometimes
so single-minded that
sometimes
they can't
you
focus
just
on being polite.
Yeah.
You know what I
hey,
mean?
It might happen with me sometimes.
Oh, who's like that?
Oh, never me. It definitely is like that with me sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, I think that, I guess everybody has their own tolerance for that sort of thing, but, you know, I tend to want people to be able to be authentic, you know, not abusive, but, you know, I I like to think that I'm mature enough that if somebody says something that I know they don't mean, that I'm not going to get bent out of shape.
Or that,
because I understand that we're working on something and that, you know, we're all trying to get it out, and it's not anything that's personal. It's just part of the labor of love that you're going through. You know what I mean?
Totally, totally.
And people, and you need to be able to be authentic when you're creating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're not, and it's all contrived, then it comes off as shit. And I think the fact that he didn't hold that back is what made it
happen. You can tell, there's just a vibe where you can tell when someone's just being a dick to be a dick, mm-hmm. or someone is just so driven that...
More blood!
Yeah, that there just is, sometimes they're just, they can't be polite. And it's not a, it's, you know, that's, and I think that's, that seems to be how Verhoeven works.
Yeah.
And just
watching, and I love that.
And you're watching interviews with him, he's just like, he loves these movies. He loves talking about these movies. He stands by them. He has no, you know, he stands by RoboCop. He stands by Total Recall, Showgirls, love Showgirls, love Starship Troopers. Like, he really did stand by these movies. It's not, there's no backtracking. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, he might say, especially with Showgirls, he's like, you know, maybe in the immediately having it be NC-17 wasn't the smartest thing.
Yeah,
like,
maybe it would have been a smash hit.
But he doesn't necessarily regret it or, like, look back on it. Like, would he's just sort of like, he'll admit when he's like, okay, probably, maybe that wasn't the best thing, at least financially or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But
Starship Troopers, like, I remember the first time I watched it, I was just like, where did this come from?
Yeah, because
you know what
it,
I mean?
Yeah.
It was so, I was probably 18 because I didn't see it in the theaters. I saw it afterwards, and I remember my friends were like, how have you not seen Starship Troopers? Yeah. Like, me and my geeky friends were, they were just like floored.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we just like rented it and then binge watched it over and over and over again because it is so like, it's staggering, it's iconic, and it's especially as like a youth, like I was 18, but still, it was just like so exciting because it's so violent. Like, so sexual, so just everything to just, like, the nth degree. It just hit in that pocket where I was like, this is the perfect movie.
When I think these two, especially out of all the five, the campiness, you know, really works. And it's not in this, like, condescending, jokey way. I mean, like, again, having trouble exactly putting it towards, like, it is funny.
Yes.
But it's not, and it knows that it's being campy and over the top. I guess
it's self-aware.
But it's also not like wink. I don't know.
It's
crafted
well. I mean, I'm trying to think of like the type of camp that I don't like.
I think we mentioned it in their talk with Justin, like the trauma kind of thing where it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just done for its own sake. It's just like, here's a bunch of guts. Isn't it gross? And here's farts. And like, here.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, yeah, it's just like there was a. I think that the seat of trauma happened and it happened at the time it needed to happen.
Yeah, totally. And,
you know,
and
so
it's certainly
it gave
a gateway for us. Like,
it
for
gave
sure,
everybody
I would never
access
not say that. Yeah.
Because the brand gave everybody access to things that were insane and over the top when you could just go under the trauma umbrella and find things easily.
Yeah.
And not everything was trash.
But as the years go on, it doesn't stand up. Exactly. Yeah.
Because it was just doing it for its own sake and didn't have like a higher vision.
Yeah.
Whereas this does, you know, it's not for its own sake. Like that's a device they use to like evoke something in you, you know, and maybe like having that humor and having things be over the top can resonate more. Whereas otherwise it would just kind of seem bleak.
Yeah.
It humanizes everybody.
It really does. And yeah, so, I mean, it was so fun rewatching all of these in these past couple of weeks. It's been such a fun ride. And just, again, looking at these major motion pictures that in some other planet, in some other year, would have been, you know, B, C, D grade movies that ran at midnight and were made
or they
in
do
Italy.
Or they do it now and it would just be all fucking digital and just like terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just cool to kind of, you know, obviously here we like to talk about, you know, more of the underground, but this to me is like the underground in the above ground. You know what I mean? Like that's how I see these five movies. And so it was really exciting. I had a great time watching these, Tara, with you.
Mm-hmm.
Great time discussing these. I think for next episode, I think it's been a few episodes. I think it's time to get back to some golden age porn, and summer's here. It's about to be here. It's creeping in. So I think it's time to do summer camp, girls. I think we got to go to summer camp with the girls.
Oh.
And I think for next episode, do some summer
camp. Well, I've been to summer camp, and I've seen summer camp girls, and they were nothing alike.
Well, maybe we
I watched Sleepaway Camp. It was more like, you know what? Camp was more like Sleepaway Camp than it was like summer camp girls.
I'm excited to watch Summer Camp Girls, and hey, maybe we start our own summer camp that's more like Summer Camp Girls.
Ugh. Can it be indoors?
Oh yeah, I mean we can make it. Camp. Yeah, we can. We know, you know. Look,
can we just not have a camp?
It can be in a sterile inside or outside, just with no nature.
Can it be like pool. Palm Springs?
Yeah,
it could be like Palm Springs summer camp.
Yeah,
hot, less Palm allergies. Springs summer though.
Well, look, we'll get into this. Next
summer
week.
Camp. I'm going to think of my dream summer camp. Maybe
well,
like
you think about it and we'll
like
get into it.
Like at a convention center in Vegas.
Hey, you think about it and we're going to discuss it.
Indoors.
Next week. Thank you so much for the support, everyone. It's, again, just a lot of fun. Keep getting love, all the responses, all the notes. Hey, you know, it's it cringe as it gets, but it does help like when we're reaching out for interviews and stuff. If you go ahead and like and leave a review,
oh,
it's so lame.
You
lame.
Said that.
I
love
it.
Well,
I hate
you know
it.
What? That's
it's
okay.
The lamest thing.
Yeah, but it is
but it
nice.
Just does help like when we want to reach out for interviews just if people see that.
So, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So I don't
never,
click chumps?
It just, it's so
well,
lame.
You can't promise something like
so
that,
lame.
But it would be cool.
It's lame.
That would be really nice.
And I'm sorry that I even said it.
I'd appreciate it.
I really apologize for saying it. I feel lame.
You just email us personally and ask for an apology
I
for that.
I feel lame. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. We will talk to you next week as we go and visit those summer camp girls. Talk to you.